Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So for the next three Sundays, we're approaching what we call the end of the church year, because the new church year begins with the first Sunday at Advent, which will be in December. And what's interesting is, as we focus at the end of the church year, our focus primarily becomes being prepared and being watchful. Back when I was 13, I joined the Civil Air Patrol. And if you don't know what the Civil Air Patrol is, it's actually an auxiliary of the Air Force, and it's headquartered out of Maxwell Air Force Base, and it's really a lot of fun. It's much better than the Boy Scouts, sorry if you're a Boy Scout, because not only do you get to do all the military stuff, you get to fly airplanes, and Boy Scouts don't fly airplanes, but in the Civil Air Patrol you do at the age of 13, so it's a lot of fun. And I enjoyed it very much, and the primary job that we did in my area of Tennessee was search and rescue and civil defense, so we were trained if there was a disaster to go out and help. But the other thing we did is if an airplane crashed, our job was to find the airplane in the mountains, because we lived in the mountains, and to secure the site for everybody else to come in. That was kind of our job. And so we had to do training exercises on the weekends, and during the summer we'd do training exercises, and you know, it was a lot of fun. And I was promoted to cadet airman first class when I was 14, and I thought I knew everything. And so we were getting ready for an exercise, for a search and rescue exercise, where they would put these beacons out and we would go up on this mountain and we would find the beacon and simulate finding a crashed airplane. And so they gave us a list of how to be prepared. So at that time, I had a card that would allow me onto military bases to shop at the PX, so I went to McGee Tyson Air National Guard Base in Knoxville and bought my new set of BDUs so I could be ready to go, and got everything I needed and bought a nice backpack that was lightweight and it was just awesome, and a new sleeping bag. And here I was, proud of myself, and I read the list and I read it real fast and packed, and we got dropped off and we went on a bus and we go out to the mountain. Now, I was prepared. I was ready. I have my MREs, meals ready to eat, and boy, those are delicious if you've ever eaten one of those, especially the dried steak. But anyways, so here we go up the mountain, and we come to a creek, and the sergeant says, we're going to cross the creek over there because it's a little bit easier to cross. There are some stones we can go across, and I disagree with the sergeant. So I just started plopping across where I was, and as I went across, I stepped in a hole, and I fell. Away went my sleeping bag and my backpack. Now, I was able to retrieve my backpack because it floated. The sleeping bag, I have no idea to this day what happened to it. As I got out on the other side wet and everybody else was dry, they were all laughing at me, of course. And they said, well, sit down and put on your extra pair of socks and the extra clothes that you brought and you should be fine. Uh-oh. I didn't see that on the list. I wasn't prepared. And that night, it got down to about 35 degrees. I had no sleeping bag, no dry clothes. Needless to say, I slept outside on the ground next to the fire and learned my lesson. Read the list and be prepared. It's important in life to be prepared. And so that's what our lessons kind of talk about today. We don't want to get caught off guard. And the lesson focuses primarily on being prepared for when Jesus returns. And we Lutherans, we don't talk a lot about Jesus' return because, well, we know as Lutherans that it's going to be a joyful and great thing. We aren't with the rest of the most Christians today and believing that it's going to be a scary thing and that there's going to be a rapture and people are going to be left behind. We don't believe that. We know it's going to be a joyful thing for those who believe in Christ, and it's going to be a great and wonderful day. But we're still called to be prepared, and that's what the lesson is about for today. In today's gospel lesson, there were 10 virgins, and they were preparing for the bridegroom. And so I read several commentaries on this because the commentaries are kind of all over the place, so I kind of pieced them together to kind of give you the best example of what was going on. It was custom in that day that after the wedding was done, after the Jewish wedding was done, at nighttime there would be a big feast. And the bride would go to her home with her virgins, her bridesmaids, who are all virgins, and they would prepare for the bridegroom to come and to begin the party. And the tradition was he was the last one there, and once he was there, this huge party would start, and it would last all night long. And I don't know what they did at their parties, but it sure sounded like a lot of fun. Okay? And so that's what would happen. Well, they were ready for this party, and all the bridesmaids, the virgins were there, and the people were in the house, and they were getting ready, and they were getting ready, and things got delayed. And I've always wondered, why would the bridegroom be delayed? I mean, for me, I'd be right on my way to party. I'd be ready to go. But commonly what happened was that after the wedding, they had to finalize the negotiations of the dowry. Now, I don't know about you guys who got married. My negotiations for dowry didn't take that long, so I don't get this part of it. But anyways, he was delayed. Somehow he got delayed, and my wife is shaking her head, and I'm going to be in trouble later, but that's okay. And he was delayed. Well, anyways, I don't know why he was delayed, but the virgins fell asleep, okay? And then all of a sudden, the cry goes out, the bridegroom's coming, let's start the party. And five of the virgins get up, and they light their lamps and pour in their oil, and they're ready to go. And the five of them are there, and they said, oh, we weren't prepared. We didn't read the list, so we weren't prepared. We don't have any oil, so give us some. And they say, no, we got to have this for ourselves. You go and go into town and buy some oil, and that's what you need to do. So they rush into town to buy the oil, and as the oil is being bought, the bridegroom comes, the virgins go in, the door is locked, the party starts. And so a little later on, these five unwise virgins show up, and what happens? They knock on the door, Lord, Lord, let us in. And what does the bridegroom say? I don't know who you are. Go away. You're not ruining this party. Sorry. Bye-bye. You should have been prepared. You see, St. Matthew tells us several key points about faith and salvation in our text for today. And this is what comes out of our text. First, there's a doctrine that pervades a lot of evangelical churches today that is called once saved, always saved. This idea that once you are saved, once you are baptized, once you come to faith, you're always saved. You can't lose your salvation. The gospel lesson for today tells us clearly that's not true. The reality is we can lose our salvation. Yes, we're baptized. And yes, the fact is because we're baptized, God never lets go of us, and this is true. But we can walk away from God. And it happens. I've seen it in my own family. People have turned their backs and walked away from God. And I'm sure you've probably seen it too. And that's the reality of what happens. You can lose your faith. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. You can lose your salvation. You see, being prepared, watching, and waiting, this is the life of faith. This is the life of faith that St. Matthew is pointing out for us. This is the life of faith that Jesus is pointing out for us in this gospel lesson for today. This is the life of faith that God wants us to have as we prepare for his return. Being prepared, waiting, and watching. Watching for the day of his return. And we're going to talk about that. What does it mean to be prepared? How do we do that? And that's crucial for our lives in this world. It's crucial for our lives in this world as church shootings happen. It's crucial for our life in this world as more mass shootings happen. It's crucial for our life in this world as North Korea wants to blow up the United States. It's crucial in our world as we have to watch, I'll be polite, Washington, D.C. do what Washington, D.C. does. It's crucial in our life these days as the rest of the world is in chaos around us, that we as Christians are prepared, watching and waiting with anticipation and hope and knowledge of our salvation, that no church shooting, no mass shooting, no bombing, no terror attack, and nothing that happens in Washington, D.C. can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I just rewrote Romans 8:38 for you. Being prepared in no way means that we earn our salvation. That is very clear. You need to understand that. Being prepared for Jesus' return, being prepared in our faith life, does not mean we earn our salvation. We, as Lutherans, know that there are no good works. There is nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. It is the free gift of God given by grace through faith. The grace that he gives us through faith, that he gives us in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, and through the power of his word that is kept alive by the Holy Spirit. So number one, it does not earn our salvation. Rather, being prepared is a call that the Holy Spirit places on our lives in baptism, and it is the growth, a process of sanctification. Now, we've talked about sanctification before. Sanctification is the process of becoming holy. It begins in our baptism. It is that process in which God, the Holy Spirit, works in and through word and sacrament to keep us growing in our faith, to keep us becoming stronger in him, to keep us doing his work, to keep us close and connected in love. It's that process of our life growing and maturing. Just as we are infants and we grow into toddlers and we grow into children, and then we enter that terrible pubescent stage of the teenage years that we all want to say as parents, oh my God, when does this end? And then we get out of that into our 20s and our 30s and then our 40s and so on. We grow, we mature. Well, some of us, I haven't learned that part yet. But we grow and we mature and we learn and we become adults. That's what happens in our faith. We grow and we learn and we mature and we become adults. This is the process of sanctification. Now, here's what we go back to earlier. Remember I said, remember this, you can lose your faith. I don't want you to get so comfortable in your pews that you think that just by coming to church on Sunday, you're going to heaven, because that's not true. And I hate to tell you that. There are a lot of good people who are going to church on Sunday who are probably not going to heaven. And that's a harsh reality. God knows the heart. I don't. You don't. I can't judge you. But God knows the heart, right? And here's why. St. Peter says this, be on guard, be alert. Satan, your enemy, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Does he have to go to the unbeliever? No. He doesn't attack the unbeliever, because the unbeliever, he's already got them in his grasp. He attacks the believer. That's why we see these shootings in churches and the threats of terror and all these things going on. This is the work of Satan in the lives of the believers, to try to tear us apart from God, to try to win us over, lest we go to heaven, because he doesn't want us to be saved. This is the work of the evil one prowling around looking to devour us. But we know in Christ Jesus, through the process of sanctification, through his death and resurrection, through baptism, through the word, and through the sacrament of the Lord's table, that God's grasp on us is mightier than anything that Satan can do. And even when we fall trapped to Satan, even when we fall into sin, even when these things do happen, these tragedies in our life, we can go to God our Father, who has his arms wide open, already wrapped around us, and experience the love and grace that only God the Father can give. This is part of being prepared, being connected to Jesus in every and all circumstances, and knowing that no matter what is happening in our life, the love of God prevails, and our salvation is secure and certain, and nothing can take that away from us. Being prepared is a gift from God himself, just as the gift of faith is too. You would agree with me that faith is a gift from God, right? No one can believe in God without him working in our lives through the power of his Spirit. Nobody can say, Lord, Lord, unless the Spirit gives them the ability to say, Lord, Lord. Isn't this true? And so the wonderful gift of faith and the wonderful gift of preparedness goes hand in hand. So what does it look like to be prepared? How are we as Christians preparing for the end of the world, preparing for Jesus' return, preparing to live in a culture and a society today where churches are getting shot, where bombs are exploding, where terrors are around, right? How do we stay prepared? How do we stand firm? The first thing is we worship together as a body. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today, but there are some people who are going to hear this hopefully over the internet. And if they're not here, I'm telling you, you've got to worship together as a body. We have to come together as Christians, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. We share our faith. You see, in keeping our lamps burning, there is something important about that. When the virgins were out keeping their lamps burning, they were sharing the joy of the wedding feast. They were sharing what was going on in the life of the bride and groom. Jesus tells us to keep your lamps trimmed and burning, to keep your lamps shining bright, to keep them filled with oil. Why does he do that? In sharing our faith, we share the very love of Jesus Christ. And if this world is going to change, if there's going to be true change in this world, one life and one heart at a time, a type of change that will truly affect this world, where shootings will go away and where mass terror will go away, it only starts when we share our faith. It only begins as we keep the light of Jesus burning in our lives through hard times and good times. Being able to stand up through the death of our children and say, you know what? God loves us. We're going to make it. Through the death of your spouse, God loves us. We're going to make it. Through abuse, addiction, whatever it is we struggle with in our life, or mental illness, being able to stand up and say, God loves me and I'm his child. I'm going to make it. These are ways in which we keep the light of Jesus shining, and the world around us sees who the true Jesus is. The true Jesus who walks by our side loves and comforts us no matter what. No matter how bad our life may look to us, he still loves and comforts us. And people see that and they respond. We have an active and healthy prayer life. This is part of being prepared. Active and healthy prayer life. St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. This is so important. I pray when I drive. However, I do recommend you keep your eyes open when you pray when you drive. The police will not use that as a proper excuse if you cause an accident. They told us that at police academy when I was training to be a chaplain. But praying is so important. I pray multiple times a day, Lord, protect me from myself. You know why? I'm more of a threat to myself than Satan is. I'm really good at sinning. I pray multiple times a day, Lord, this temptation is in my life. I pray against that evil spirit. Lord, thank you for this you've given me, and do this. Because that's what happens. Prayer becomes an integral part of our life. It becomes something that we just don't do in the morning or before we go to bed. It becomes something we do at every part of every day. I pray in the shower. Somebody said, ooh, you're naked in the shower. God doesn't care. He made this body. I may think it's ugly. He doesn't. Right? Prayer becomes an integral part of what we do in our life as part of Christians in preparing for Jesus' return. We spend time in God's word or devotion. Every day, opening your Bible or a devotional book that you have, it is crucial that we connect with God, because in this way, he pours his grace into our lives. We live as stewards of God's gifts. God gives us gifts. And I'm not just talking about money. He gives us gifts and abilities. Some of us have the gift of craftsmanship and workmanship. Some of us have the gift of gab and can preach. Some of us have the gifts that of sewing and quilting or whatever that gift might be. We all have different gifts and abilities. And using those gifts as stewardship to God, including the financial resources he gives us, keeps us prepared. Why, you may ask? It's not so the church is wealthy. It's not so the church can be good. It's because when we are properly aligned in our stewardship life with God, and that includes tithing, we are solely focused on him and solely focused on growing his kingdom. Do you see the difference? And that is crucial in our life of being prepared for his return. Our epistle lesson for today also has something very valuable, some very crucial information about being prepared. And this goes along with worshiping as a body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 18, the end of the epistle lesson says this: therefore, encourage one another with these words. Just before that, there was a beautiful exhortation of the gospel that Jesus is going to come and raise everyone up from the dead, and those who are alive will be met up with Jesus in the sky, and we will go into heaven to live with him forever because of the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, that we will be welcomed into heaven with open arms to live with him forever in the mansions that he's prepared for us, where there's no more tears or crying or pain or sickness. Everything is perfect, and that's what we're here for. That's what we long for. That is our hope. That is our goal. That's what we want, that eternal life that God gives to us. That's the greatest gift in all the world. We can't even imagine it. We can't even put it into words. And then St. Paul says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. That's why we come together as a body. We come together as a body because when we come into this place, some of us are depressed, some of us are sick, some of us are downtrodden, some of us are joyful. And being in this place, as we take care of one another and love one another and build each other up with the gospel, we are building up the body of Christ and helping each other to stay prepared. If we don't help each other, guess what? It all falls apart. The kingdom of God grows. The kingdom of God is sustained. The kingdom of God is healthy when you are ministering to each other. I can't do it for everybody. I wish I could, but I can't. I can do one person, maybe two at a time, properly. But you are ministers. You are the priesthood, the royal priesthood that God has called through baptism to share the love of Jesus with each other, to encourage one another, and to keep each other growing and strong in the faith. We bear one another's burdens. St. Paul says when we bear each other's burdens, we fulfill the law, the love of Christ. We are also reminded by Jesus himself that we are our brother's keeper. If we are not taking care of our brother or sister in Christ, we are failing the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, being prepared won't save us, because we're already saved. God has already done all that. He's died for you. He's risen for you. He's baptized you. He gives you the Lord's Supper, and he gives you the word. If you ever doubt your salvation, look to the cross. You are going to heaven. As we live in these days of the end times and look forward to when Jesus returns, in my opinion, it isn't soon enough. It could be right now, hopefully soon. We live in being prepared, in watching out for each other, in lifting each other up, in staying in God's word, in celebrating his grace, in rejoicing in his forgiveness. And then we have nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. nothing to worry about. Because you know that old enemy Satan who prowls around? He can't touch you when you're in God. When you're covered in the blood of Christ, he flees. Because he sees one who is loved by the Almighty himself. In Jesus' name, amen.